This is the Inland Journal from Spokane Public Radio. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Washington's Initiative 1631, billed as a carbon emissions fee, failed at the polls this month. More than 56% of the voters said no. The idea was to tax emissions that add to the carbon dioxide loading in the atmosphere. Some voters said they support the concept, but either didn't like the fee idea or didn't understand it. Former South Carolina Republican Congressman Bob Inglis thinks the initiative had its flaws but was on the right track. That's a big metamorphosis in his thinking. In the 1990s, during his first three terms in Congress, Inglis didn't believe in climate change. But over a period of several years, he left politics and then came back, encouraged by his family, especially his teenage son, who urged his dad to revisit his position on climate change. In fact, Inglis says his newfound belief that atmospheric warming is real and caused by humans cost him his seat in Congress in 2010. Now he runs a company called RepublicEN.org, which promotes free market solutions to climate change. He spoke to us recently when he came to speak about that at Gonzaga.
The problem is not in the head. The problem is in the heart. It's an identity issue. It's whether saying that climate change is going to be real is somehow going to make you into a liberal or make it so you're no longer welcome in the tribe and that you're Benedict Arnold as to your tribe. And so that's the problem. And so for me, the thing that broke through was the love of my son, seeing the science in Antarctica, and then the love of an Aussie climate scientist who showed me really the calling as a believer to do something, a Christian believer to do something about climate.
You also came up with a plan to try to fix it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's specifically what was the evidence of my heresy on climate, is that I introduced the Raise Wages, Cut Carbon Act of 2009, which was a result of that three-step metamorphosis for me, where I went from saying climate change was nonsense to saying, oh, it's real and we've got a solution. In 2009, I introduced the bill. It was a 15-page alternative to the 1,500 pages of cap and trade. It's a very simple carbon tax that puts a price on carbon dioxide and pairs that tax with a dollar-for-dollar reduction in payroll taxes. The 12.4% that every employee pays, every worker pays, either they or half them, half their employer, and makes it border adjustable, so we apply it to Chinese imports, for example, and any country that doesn't have the same carbon tax. That very powerful but simple idea is what proved that I was a heretic in the midst of the Great Recession. But the good news is that things have changed now. The economy is so much better. We've had more experiences with climate change, and we've grown some capacity on the eco-right, we call it, which is a balance to the environmental left, where we now have some right-wing groups that are saying, well, of course, you just put a price on carbon dioxide and then watch the free enterprise system deliver innovation, because then you fix the economics. And the climate will take care of itself because of the innovation, because of the clean fuels that will come to market, because of the better batteries. And of course, in the meanwhile, we're going to improve our national security too, because we're going to be saying to the Middle East, we just don't need you like we used to. It's really pretty exciting, you know, when you think about it. And that's what one of the reasons Republicans aren't signed on yet is all they've been hearing is the threat and the danger and being bludgeoned about, don't you care, don't you care. There's not much conversation yet, and we're trying to change this, about the opportunities, the promise of this, the exciting things are going to come. It's like what we saw with the advance of technology in telecommunications. We believe we're going to see that same kind of revolution in energy. And so it's going to be very exciting to watch the world light up with distributed energy systems. And so if we play our cards right, we're going to sell them those systems. We're going to create jobs here and wealth. We're going to serve our customers very well around the world. We have repeat customers. We're going to have quite a thing going on, sort of like what's happened in cell phones. You know, once very expensive, now a lot of people have a cell phone and because the price came down. And same thing's going to happen in energy, we believe.
Sales tax, you go pay for something at the cash register, they take it right there. And right. So how does the carbon tax work?
It's sort of like the tipping fee that we charge at the city dump. You know, at the city dump, you got to pay, your trash hauler has to pay for the space they're taking up at the dump, because eventually you're going to run out of space at the dump and the city's going to have to build a new one. So the idea is to charge for the space. Same principle in the case of CO2, is just charge for the space we're taking up in the atmosphere, and there is a limited amount of space in the atmosphere for CO2, safe levels of CO2. I mean, we could put a lot of CO2 up there and not be safe, just like if you don't mind having garbage in your front yard and having the city dump come right over your house. So if you're going to take up space, you got to pay for the space, and that's the concept behind a self-rationing, really, of emissions. And that's what economists who are both on the left and on the right would say is the answer, is allow people to self-ration by seeing the price at the pump, at the power meter, and then they make choices, not because anybody told them to do it, but because it's now economic at that point to get a solar array on your roof, to get the better batteries that Elon Musk or somebody else is selling, to get the Chevy Volt or the new Ford products or the Volvo products. They're going to run electricity. I mean, so it becomes in the consumer's interest. You make it apparent. You bring even biblical accountability to that emission, to that cost, and then watch the free enterprise system respond with products that then work. Right now, they don't work. Like wave energy works fine. It's just not economic because coal-fired electricity is cheap, because I'm not responsible. If I'm making coal-fired electricity, I'm not responsible for my emissions. Great deal for me. Stinks for my neighbors. Stinks for the world. But great for me. I'm Inglis coal-fired electricity. But you make me accountable, and then wave energy and wind and solar, all kinds of things become possible, not because of subsidies, but because of the level playing field.
Bob Inglis is CEO of RepublicEN.org, which promotes a national carbon emissions tax, much like the version in Washington's Initiative 1631, which failed at the polls. Inglis spoke recently at Gonzaga University.